Hey everyone, this is Alexis Martinelli, and we have a very, very special Play a Bigger Game Now Mindset and Motivation Mastery call for today because I have a special guest with me. You know, normally I do these calls, it's just me telling you what's going on and what you need to do to play a bigger game based on what's coming up for me as I step into playing a bigger game. But today we have with me the author of Crush It, Gary Vaynerchuk. Welcome to the call, Gary. Thanks so much for being here with me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Well, you are certainly playing a bigger game, and I knew that you would be a great guest to have on my call. As you step out and go from, for those who don't know you as the guy who took your family's company from, where was your family's wine company when you came into the business, Gary?
We were doing about $3 million a year as a wine liquor beer store in Springfield, New Jersey.
Okay.
And over the next 7 years, I grew it to a $50 million a year business.
A $50 million a year business. So I just want everybody to hear that. Gary, and Gary, how old were you when you did this?
I was 22 when I
started.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, 22-year-old
like
kid.
Yeah, it was a pretty amazing, you know, experience. And I very much have always been entrepreneurial and natural at, you know, building brand and selling, and you know, it was fun to put those natural skills to work, and you know, it's what's led to me being able to build my personal brand equity so well, is that, you know, I believe that I'm a very good storyteller, and as long as you know who you are and what you're selling, you can be very effective. And the new platforms that we're living in, all these new platforms that cost nothing, are such an attractive place to tell stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk about this because you did this, as I said, at 22. You came into your family business. It was a little store, not so much a little store, $3 million a year, but still relative to $50 million a year. And you were only 22 years old when you did it. And there's a lot of people that I come across who think that maybe they're not ready, they don't know enough. And you said that you've always been good at this. You've always been good at building storytelling. How, at 22 years old, did you know this was something that you had a talent for, that you had a capacity for? Was it something that you just grew up with, starting when you were a teenager? I read some of that in your book, but I want to hear a little bit more about it from you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this since I was five. You know, what I do now is the same stuff I did with my, you know, lemonade stand and baseball cards. It's just something in my DNA. I'm an entrepreneur. I didn't feel intimidated even for a quarter of a second. I never do. Not when it comes to business, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe in a street fight or in, you know, a healthcare debate or, you know, things I don't know as well. But when it comes to business and branding, you know, I just feel like I'm right there with anybody in the world, and that's just how I feel, whether it's true or not, and that in lies a lot of my success.
Right, and so that's a really important point that I want everybody to hear, because this is what Gary feels. It may or may not be true to you, the outside person who's looking in at Gary's life, but to him, it's true. And so I think that that's one of the most important things that people don't really get for themselves, is that it has to start with you. That truth has to start kind of bubbling up inside. It has to start with you. So that's happened for you, Gary. You've always felt this way about business. I'm interested in hearing about how you've made this transition in your own brand. For those of you that want to look up more about what Gary has done in his previous business and his family's business, what is the website for Wine Library where they can see your videos, where they can see everything you're doing in the wine business?
So winelibrarytv.com. That's my daily wine show, and that's where the magic happens.
Right. So for those of you that, many of you know Gary Vaynerchuk, but for those of you that don't, go to winelibrarytv.com and check out what he's doing there, because what he's doing and the way that he built this, took this business, this $3 million bricks and mortar store, turning it into a national brand, is he did it with these daily videos on winelibrarytv.com. And when you read his book, Crush It, what you're going to read in there is the story of how he did that, how he tapped into his own natural gift for being on video. And I love what you talked about, Gary, where you talked about how you chose video as your mode of communication because you said, there's no way I'm going to write every day. There's no way that I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write a blog every day. But you figured out, I can do video. That's something that I can do. And that really helped me kind of start to identify, you know what, I don't have to be doing video and teleseminars and writing. Just pick your own method of delivery. You decided it was video for you. What do you have to say to people out there who say, well, I can't do video. I don't look good enough on video, or I don't feel comfortable on video. I think I know what you're going to tell them, but what do you have to say to them about that?
Then do written word or audio. You know, I mean, it's everybody's got a different platform. But don't overthink video either. It's not that hard. As a matter of fact, your mistakes and your bumbling of words and the wrong lighting and this and that, that's all part of the charm. That's good stuff, not bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. True, but you have some...
You know, I think Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, see, it's a little bit different for men, I got to say, Gary. It's a little bit different for men because you could get on there and look just like you. For the women, though, you know, we got to do the makeup. And even if we don't really...
But you know what? You know what, though? You know what, though? I mean, that comes down to, you know, where you want to be. I mean, you know, Oprah was in a bath towel and no makeup on her show.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, not every episode, but
right.
She's gone there. I mean, it comes down to where you want to go. I think when you have enough self-esteem globally, you're able to go to a lot of other places. And listen, I did a video from my taking a poop the other day in my bathroom. Once you get there, you can get there, you know?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the things
I definitely respect that women have it a little different, but that's only within the mind of that woman.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, listen, if you could do a video from your toilet, then I have no excuse. No, none of the women on the call have any excuse for not doing a video blog if they feel like that is their medium. But what I read in your book and what I'm hearing you say is that the key is to identify what your passion is, what it is that you absolutely love to talk about, could talk about all day, every day, and then find the media communication that's right for you, whether it's writing a blog, whether it's getting on a phone call, a radio show, doing your own radio show, or creating it on video is not the important part. The important part is finding that message that you want to communicate and then determining the media that's right for you to get it out there. Do you agree with that?
It's always global, Alexis. You know, it's always, 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 always global, and that is imperative. It's just,
mm-hmm.
It's imperative for people to figure that out. It's massively global, and people are always stuck in the minutiae of the details. And there's nothing good happening in the details.
So do you truly believe that every single person that is hearing this right now can have their own global brand?
Yes, but I also feel but it all depends on what you mean by global brand. I mean, some people don't have the knowledge or talent or ability to work hard enough or patience to build anything bigger than a $5,000 a year brand. But I do believe that everybody can build some form of dollars around the brand they love. I do. And I feel the far majority of people can build a brand that's worth $30,000 to $60,000 a year. Not that that's life-changing and you're going to have boats and all that, but boy, oh boy, if you're making under $60,000 a year, wouldn't it be nice to make $55,000 a year talking about the thing you love most with
mm-hmm.
upside?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that. So let's talk
you know, I think it's more practical for me than it is for most people. It's not about a billion-dollar brand.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's going to be Oprah, you know.
And the other thing you've said is that the key is you've got to hustle. You've got to work mega hard to make this happen, and not everybody really wants to do that.
Mega hard. I mean, this is not easy. What I preach is exciting and fun, but definitely, definitely not easy. Super hard work.
So I want to talk about that for a minute. How does your family deal with you working so hard? I'm a mom. A lot of people listening in today are parents as well. I know you just had a baby recently. How is your family dealing with the constant hustle, or are they just accepting of it and they don't give you a hard time about it at all?
you know, a lot of communication, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to be around, family first. I mean, I want to be around, but, you know, it's also, you got to strike the iron when it's hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a combination of all of it, but, you know, definitely the things that attracted me to my wife are her independence and her awareness of my ambition. And, you know, but at the same token, you don't want to lose sight of it. So it's just, it's hard work balancing the whole thing.
And
it's going well
because we're
communicating so much.
Are you finding it to be more difficult now that you've had a baby?
Yes, I mean, no question. You know, I definitely feel like, you know, it's harder because I want to spend more time with the baby, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How old is he now? Or she.
Misha, she's 5 months old.
5 months. And my daughter just turned 10 the other day, so I certainly know. And a big
awesome.
Thing. Well, and thank you. And a big thing happened for me when my daughter turned 10 the other day. This huge realization came upon me that for the past 10 years I've been busting my butt. I've been hustling big time, working hard this whole time, and almost like something shifted inside of me. And I said, oh, my God, my daughter's 10. And the next 10 years are going to go by so quickly. I don't want to be away from her so much the next 10 years. And something seems to have shifted inside of me. Maybe it hasn't happened for you yet, but...
You know, it happened to me the other day. Yeah, no, I think we have little shifts along the way, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so... Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel different today, and I'm sure when she's 10, I'll feel different again. You know, I see it.
Yes. Now, when you were growing up, you mentioned that your dad worked all the time, and you didn't really feel like you got to know him until you were a teenager.
That's correct.
And you have tremendous respect for him. If you had that same kind of a relationship with your kids, would that be okay with you?
No.
No.
I don't think I have to give away that much time. And he regrets it desperately.
Mm.
It's a different relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the parent loses out more than the child.
Sure.
The child can adjust pretty quickly at 14, 15, 16. I still feel like I grew up with my dad, even though I didn't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was there, but he wasn't. But, you know, so, but I think for me, I mean, I can see it in his face. I feel like he lost out way more than I did.
And so
I don't want to lose, you know, on the other side.
Yeah, and so you're working on striking that balance and at the same time working really hard. I see you traveling around everywhere. And do you have plans as you go into 2010 to travel less, to do less in some way? Have you thought it through? What does that look like for you?
Yes, I've already canceled some stuff for next year. I'm not committing to as many speaking engagements, you know. You know, so there's so many things that have changed already. So, yes, clearly, you know, my world's changing. But you're also talking to the guy who probably talks about hustle and hard work more on social media than any individual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anybody owns hustle as a brand, it's probably me. I mean, it's all I talk about. I mean, I think it's the differentiator. I think you can physically outwork somebody. I mean, if talent was only the key, then the number one and number two and number three picks in every sports draft would always end up being the best player, but that's not what happens.
Right. And so...
It's mental and it's effort.
And so with your being able to hustle on social media, is that something you feel like you can do from home without traveling so much and meet and strike that balance?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I also know that my in-person charisma is the greatest thing I've got.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I translate better in real life because all the obnoxious, caring, and over-the-top aspects of my personality, when somebody meets me in real life, they're like, oh, my God, he's serious.
Yeah. I relate to that. I have a similar experience.
Yeah, I mean, people feel like it could be an act. They're just not... They're not willing to completely trust Twitter or Facebook or Ustream, but when they meet me in person, it's just, it surprises them, and so I understand that's valuable to me, you know?
Yeah, I hear you on that. I get that all the time. When people meet me in person, and then they say, wow, that really is how you are. You really do care this much, and it's a key piece. Do you see bringing people to you more in person then? Is that something that you could envision doing as opposed to you having to go to places?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, so everybody, hear that. If you get a chance to see Gary Vee in your hometown over the next several months, take it, because he may not be coming to your hometown soon. You may have to travel to him. So hear what he's saying.
Like a rapper,
about
I'm retiring.
That's right. He's going to be only. And where is home for you? Are you in New Jersey?
Manhattan.
So, all right. So you're going to have to travel to New York to see Gary Vee. So really, pay attention if he's coming to your hometown, because he's doing a lot of book tour right now. Now, one of the things that a lot of people who listen in on these calls have, and I want to talk through a little bit, because I've heard you say that you have to key in on your passion. You've got to key in on your passion. You've got to be consistent with your message. You've got to go out there whole hog and convey this message that you want to get out to people. What happens for the person who cannot choose the one thing that they're passionate about? You did wine for all these years, and now you're focusing on branding and business building. Two very distinct messages, but you did them at two very distinct times. What about the person who just
In hindsight, I would have not.
Okay,
I would have come out with both at the same time. I think people should own their name.com and put out all their content to be the evening news.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so own
That's
your
it.
Name
I mean,
and
I,
just
I,
put
I,
out whatever you have to say on every topic.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
Let
your brand be your DNA.
All right. I hear this, and it is so contrary to what so many people say. So we got to explore this a little bit. Because I'm hearing people, you know, like Penelope Trunk, one of my favorite bloggers, she's saying, no, your blog has to. Now, of course, you see that Penelope Trunk is not. She talks about everything, but everything she talks about is in the context of career building. So do you need to find that common thread?
I disagree. I think that being a talking head or a voice, I mean, Oprah talks about all sorts of different things. The end.
Yes.
But right?
Always,
the biggest brand in the world. The woman that won the game, she
yes.
doesn't talk about a certain niche,
yes.
right?
Uh-huh. Yep, you're right.
The end. I mean, there's no other – I don't need to really say much more.
But can you start there? Can you start there, or is that somewhere you have to get to?
That's a very – you know what? That's a very valid point, and I can respect if somebody feels they shouldn't. By the way, there should be one or two glaring – you know, passions that are going to be your starting point anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be just one. It could be one or two or three even. I mean, you're going to be a hockey fan, somebody who loves beer, and somebody who loves movies, and you can easily integrate all three of those as a starting point. I think people are obsessed with having one passion, and that's wrong.
Yeah, I think that's so funny. I think you just described my boyfriend. Hockey, beer, and movies. He loves all of that. So we've got a business for him there.
Well, he needs to start a brand around that.
Yeah, he's a business guy. I don't know if you know him. His name's Dave D, and he works all of that, and he has a daily email newsletter because that's what he likes to do. He likes to write, so he does his daily email newsletter, and people love it because it's a marketing newsletter, but he talks about hockey. He talks about his movies. He talks about, you know, all the different – when he, you know, goes out drinking beer. So he's doing it, too, just in a different format that you are. And so I think you're right. I mean, I think it's about – about getting across your message in this platform. At what point do you think people begin to monetize this, and how do they begin to monetize it?
Well, they monetize it, you know, the same way everything's always been monetized, you know, whether it's retail or services or event-driven or advertising or sponsorship. There's not that many. Every way you monetize this now is the same way you monetized it before. The end.
Mm-hmm.
The end. You become a brand that has eyeballs. If you have eyeballs, you can convert them. You've got to give them something they want. You know, I could start a wine festival next year and make a crap load of money because I have the eyeballs and built a platform, and that's a way to monetize, right?
Mm-hmm,
the end.
Absolutely. And so do you build the eyeballs before the monetization strategy or the monetization strategy before the eyeballs?
Depending on your situation, you know? I mean, it all comes down to how much money you have. The reason Twitter didn't need to monetize is because, you know, Ev had a Porsche before he started, you know, Twitter. He sold Blogger to Google.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to know your real situation. But the longer you don't monetize, the more you're going to get. And people need to understand that.
Okay, that's an important point.
If you're growing.
Over it. So the longer
you wait to monetize.
You know? Yeah. If you can wait longer to monetize, you're going to get more when you do.
Sure, because then you're in the position of bargaining instead of, you know, going out and selling, right?
Yep, and I think that this is an important point, too. I want to translate this into something that people can take into their own situation right now. If you are going to take this information from Gary's book and build a community, and really that's what I hear, Gary, your book saying. Your book is saying go out there and build a community around what you are passionate about, around what you love. The longer you can wait to monetize that community, and in that sense, it's going to be the longer you can wait to offer that community something that you're going to be selling, the longer you can wait to sell something to them and you can just build that community, the more you're going to make when you do make your first offer and subsequent offers to that community. You agree with that, Gary?
Yes, as long as your offers are valuable. I mean, there's so many people that sell crap.
Yeah.
I mean, your product's got to be good. I mean, do you know how many people sell, like, information that's widely available on the Internet? Why would I want to buy, you know, a DVD or a video or written information that I can find anywhere?
Right. So what do you...
I mean, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what do you say to people who want to monetize? Because I'll tell you, this is what a lot of people out there are selling, is that they are teaching people to monetize by doing exactly what you just said. And I completely agree. If they do that and then they're struggling and wondering, why am I struggling? Well, it's because what you're selling is crap. So for those folks, how do you recommend that they put together something that people really want that is going to monetize this for them?
Well, I mean, they have to, you know, recognize that, you know, they've got to put out stuff that is good. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's very hard. I mean, you just have to you have to monetize something that has value. I mean, you just got to pay attention. What's that product available for, and how much does it sell for? You got to know. I mean, it's as simple as that. You got to know. If you're selling information and it's available on YouTube and websites like mine for free, you're not going to monetize it.
Right.
People are going to call you out. I mean, you can't charge $500 an hour when everybody charges $100, and you shouldn't charge $100 when everybody's charging $500. So it's imperative you know the product. You know.
Right. Well, and what I always teach is the first thing that you have to know is you have to know your marketplace. You've got to know who is it that you want to reach. Who is this community that you want to build around you? So that's really going to dictate what you're going to offer and how you're going to structure what you offer and ultimately how you're going to price it. You've got to know your market. You've got to know your client that you're wanting to serve. When you're building your brand, when you're out there and you're structuring products, are you thinking about a specific person? Do you have a specific ideal client in mind that you're thinking about? Or are you just thinking about, what do I want to communicate, and then trusting that the right people are going to show up?
They got a little bit cut off. I'm sorry.
All right. So when you're out there and you're creating your brand, when you're out there deciding what you're going to put out into the world, are you thinking about a specific ideal client? Are you thinking about a specific person? Do you have a vision of who you're communicating to in mind, or are you more focused on what you have to say and what you want to communicate irrespective of who shows up?
1,000%. The people that think their niche is too small or the subject matter is too small are crazy. You know, listen, here's what it comes down to, Alex. It's very simple. You have to be awesome to win. So you have to go as low as possible to the common denominator that makes you special. So maybe you don't know the most about basketball, but you know the most about the Clippers. And so if you know the most about the LA Clippers, you have a bigger market. But maybe you don't know the most about Clippers. Maybe you just know the most about a single player. And that gives you a smaller market. But until you get down to the lowest denominator where you're valuable, you are not going to win because there's somebody who's going to be better and they should win. Got it? So
absolutely. I love that. That changed. That idea from your book changed my thinking about the way that I go out into the world in a big way.
It really did,
and I've been doing this for a long time. And it was a huge shift because I said to myself, I've been splitting up the way that I communicate, I've been, I sell to a lot of different, I offer things to a lot of different niches. I have things for lawyers, because I've been a lawyer for 10 years. I have things for moms, I've been a mom for 10 years. I have things for business owners, because I've been a business owner for 10 years. And there's a huge shift coming for me as all of this gets combined into one thing, and it's no longer diffused into all these places. It becomes one thing. The hard part has been figuring out how can I bring it all together into the one thing in a way that, A, is authentic to me, and B, does not eliminate anybody that I don't want it to eliminate. But that's the part I had to let go of. Right there, that's the part I had to let go of, is I had to say, you know what, if someone is not attracted to what I have to say because of the way that I'm saying it or the way that I'm showing up, they're not my people anyway. It was a huge shift to make, and scary at the same time, because this is where, I'll tell you, Gary, this is where a lot of people are getting held up. They're afraid of alienating or excluding certain people, and as a result, they are playing too small and not attracting the people that they really want. You agree?
1,000%.
All right. Have you lost any of your passion for anything that you were doing at one time and felt like you had to keep doing it because you were doing it?
No, that's when I switched. When I lost my passion, my undivided passion for baseball cards, I started selling baseball cards and comic books. When I lost it for that, I started selling toys, like Star Wars figures. When I lost it for that, I started selling wine. When I lost it, and again, I still have enormous passion for all of them, especially wine. But as soon as I wanted to talk more about entrepreneurship and all that, I started doing that. So yeah, I'm very good at maneuvering to where my heart is.
I love that, and I want everybody to see how I've done the same thing and how you can apply this to your own life, your own business. I had a passion for being a law firm owner, running my own law firm, and then I took that and I leveraged that passion into helping other law firm owners build their own businesses, leveraged that into helping other business owners build their businesses. You're not letting go of anything that you've done, although along the way, there might be people who are no longer attracted to you because, you know, for example, with Gary, somebody who wants baseball cards, not going to be attracted necessarily to Gary today. He's let go of that, but it's okay because he's keeping the people who he's supposed to be keeping and letting the rest go, knowing that the people who resonate with his message are hearing him, and as his message gets bigger, as his passion gets bigger, he's bringing more and more people into his fold, into his community, that he can now have this relationship with. Gary, was there ever a time when you just didn't know what you were passionate about?
No, and I understand that's my big advantage to a lot of people, but my passion is always the process, not the results. You know, it's all about doing what you love and doing it for you and your family. Keep it that basic and you win. And I've been very good at keeping things very basic my whole life.
Tell me a little bit more about that. I know that we're close to the end of our time here, but I don't think somebody would look at you from the outside and say that you keep things basic. So I need to understand that. What's happening in your mind
That's a very good point, because I agree with you. I don't think people would. It's just how I'm built. I'm not product-driven. I don't need a car or a house or a boat. I have one big ambition to own my favorite sports team, and that's because it's emotional, not because it's business. I'm sure I can buy many things that are going to be better buys than the New York Jets.
Yeah.
I just want to be happy, and doing what I love is happiness for me. And spending time with my family and making them proud is happiness. And don't confuse simplicity with hard work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very creative, and I'm doing a lot of things, and I'm running a million miles a minute. But the goal is the process. And that's very simple.
Mm. Can you let us in at all to what that process is, any more than you already have? We can certainly, maybe we just have to read the book to really understand. But when you say the goal is the process.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. But, I mean, the goal is the process. What do you want to do every minute you wake up? The end. That's it.
The end.
You know, just...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I love that. Yes. What do you want to do every minute when you wake up? Listen to what he's saying. What do you want to do every minute when you wake up? And find a way to build your business around that. I can't say enough how important that is. And as that changes, go with it. Allow it to change in your life. Allow it to change in the way that it's presented out. Find a way to make what you love part of what you do on a daily basis. Gary, what about the stuff that you don't love to do? What about, I imagine, if you're anything like me, there's the day-to-day minutiae of the business.
I delegate it all.
You delegate all of it. You
all
just let it go.
Unfortunately, I'm so sorry. I'm on a super tight schedule, and I do have to go.
Okay.
But I want to say thank you to you, and thank you for anybody who listened to this. You know my spiel, facebook.com/Gary. All my stuff is out there. You know, I want to engage more and more, and I'd love to do this again with you sometime.
All right. Thanks, Gary. You have a great day. Go ahead, sign up. I'm going to finish up the call. Gary Vaynerchuk, everybody.
Right.
Yep. Have a great one.
Thank
Talk
you.
To you later, Gary. Thanks for being here.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Everybody, that was Gary Vaynerchuk, and I just want to do a little wrap-up here so that we can really help you to relate what Gary and I were talking about to your own business and your own life. And more than anything, what Gary stands for is to find that chrysalis of your passion. Yes, Gary has always known what he was passionate about, baseball cards, business, wine, and now entrepreneurism. And maybe you're sitting here not certain about what you're passionate about. And I would say that you're blocking it, that you do know what you are passionate about. You do know what you absolutely love to do, could talk about all day, every day. And what's blocking you is a belief that you can't make money with it. What's blocking you is a belief that says that if it's that easy, if you love it that much, you can't possibly charge for it. And what I want you to know is that that is a limiting belief. It's a limiting belief that's keeping you playing smaller than you want to be playing, than you deserve to be playing. It's something that's held me back in my own life. And that as I've gotten clearer and clearer and clearer about what I'm really passionate about, and as I've been able and willing to step into that more and more, the right people are attracted to me, the right teachers are attracted to me, or I'm attracted to them so that I can learn how to monetize it, because, of course, that's the key. That's the key. You've got to know how to monetize what you are passionate about. That's not something you're going to learn on your own. Gary was lucky enough to be able to step into his family business, a business that already existed, and learn in that context. You may not have that, but you do have teachers available to you. You do have mentors available to you who can teach you to monetize what you're passionate about. But before you can do that, before you can make use of those teachers, of that knowledge that's out there, you have to identify for yourself where that passion is. For a long time, I avoided what everybody else around me knew. That what I am most passionate about, what I could talk about all day, every day, is business. I love it. I try to put everybody who comes into contact with me in their own business. I've been doing it since I was a teenager. I've been trying to coach my mom since I was a teenager, my ex-husband since we got married when I was 26. Always, I've been trying to put people into their own businesses. This is what I love. And yet, how many years later? 10 years, 15 years later, that I'm finally stepping into that and realizing, oh, this can be my business. I can build my business around my passion. There are so many steps that I had to go through before I could get there. I became a lawyer. I opened my own law firm. Then I started coaching other lawyers. Finally, now I'm not only coaching other lawyers, I'm coaching other business people to build a life, to build a business that they love. I could have identified that 10 years ago, possibly, and built the business around it then. Of course, the truth of the matter is it's all happening perfectly. It's all happening perfectly. Everything that's happened that's led from where I was to where I am today is exactly the way that it's supposed to be. So don't beat yourself up if you don't know yet, if you really don't know yet. But I would suspect that you do. And this can be the shortcut. This can be the wake-up call that you need that allows you to trust your passion, to trust what you really do love more than anything else and to begin to build a community around that. You'll see my community changing in the coming months as I consolidate, as I bring it all together, as I begin to focus my energy on my blog. I love to write. I love to write. And I love to write about life, business, and the pursuit of happiness. It brings it all together. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. You're going to watch. You're going to see it happen. And as you see it happen, I want it to happen for you as well. I want you to begin to step into what you really love. If it's three things like Gary talked about, hockey, beer, and movies, make it about hockey, beer, and movies. For me, it's about designing life and business on your terms, having a life that you really love, being more conscious, making more conscious decisions, having more awareness in your life. Whether it's about your living situation, whether it's about the environment, whether it's about your interactions with other people, it's about awareness, it's about consciousness, it's about truth. Those are the things that I love to talk about. And who do I love to talk to? Well, I love to talk to people who want to live more consciously on a day-to-day basis. Not necessarily from a spiritual perspective, maybe from a values perspective, maybe from an eco perspective. It's all the same. It's all the same. It's all about bringing awareness. And I want you to bring awareness right now to your own self. No more walking through your life day to day, day after day, on autopilot. Just living the life you've always lived because it's the life you've always lived. But instead, making every moment of your life a conscious choice to live the truth of who you are from a place of awareness, awareness of your own self, of how you're showing up in the world, how you're relating to your children, to your spouse, boyfriend or girlfriend, to your clients, to your friends, to your family. When you can relate from the truth of who you are, as opposed to from your pattern conditioning, your life becomes what you want it to be. And that's really what this interview with Gary Vee was all about. Gary Vee is a living example of someone who knows what he wants and does not let anything stand in his way. He's willing to work hard. He's willing to make the hard choices. He's willing to do what it takes in a big way. And I want you to do the same thing. I want you to be willing to do what it takes to have the life that you deserve. No more excuses. No more faulty thinking. No more limited thinking that says that if you really love it, if it's that easy, you can't possibly make money with it. It's just not the truth. The truth is that you can have a life and a business that you absolutely love, and that whatever it is that you absolutely love, whatever it is that you are passionate about, when you get clear about it and you begin to offer that passion to the world, it's going to come back to you a thousandfold, a thousandfold. Of course, you do need to learn how to build a business around it. You do need to learn how to monetize. Those are all things that you can learn. I can teach you that. Dave can teach you that. Lots of teachers can teach you that. What we can't teach you is what your passion is. That has to come up from within you. That already exists within you. And when you identify it, we will help you build a business around it. But that's got to be your first step. Acknowledge the truth of your own passion. Acknowledge that this passion evolves over time, and don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. I've been very tempted to get stuck. I got stuck in my law firm. I almost got stuck in my law firm because I didn't want to let it go. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck by the fact that you might be making a lot of money doing something that you're not passionate about right now. If you are not passionate about it, the money will dry up eventually, if it hasn't already. Maybe you're seeing the signs of it now as this economy is changing. Maybe you're seeing that what you've been doing has been less effective or is now less effective. Okay? Because today, in this economy, people have more choices. And they're going to choose the passion every time. Every single time. I remember when I was at the big law firm, this is really what inspired me to leave the law firm, leave the security of the six-figure paycheck and start my own business. There was a man there named Stephen Rose. And if you ever need an amazing tax attorney, he's the best. Why? Because he was passionate. And I saw his passion for tax, and I said, I want that. And I tried. I tried to have a passion for tax, and I just couldn't. I couldn't. It wasn't what I was passionate about. I wanted to. It would have been much easier, but I couldn't. I couldn't be passionate about something I wasn't passionate about. You can't manufacture passion. It's got to be authentic. And there is something that you are authentically passionate about. That is your number one job right now, is to identify that, to acknowledge it, to accept it, and then you can begin to build a business around it. We can teach you that part. But we can't teach you the passion. That needs to come up. Let it bubble up from within. And if you feel stuck, if you're not sure how to identify this passion, I want you to come over to my fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/playbigwithalexis. And I want you to talk to me about it. Come over to Twitter, Alexis Neely. Talk to me about it. Let me help you find your passion. Let me help you get in touch with that passion. You know it's in there. You know you want it. You can have it. So that's it. This is Alexis Martin Neely, and this is our Play a Bigger Game Now call. I hope you loved my interview with Gary Vee. If you did, tell a friend, tell someone about it, and tell them to listen all the way to the end, because this is where the meat is. We can hear Gary Vee talking about his business. We can read his book, but the meat is in the application to you. How are you going to take this and let it transform your life? Tell me. Come on over to Twitter. Come over to Facebook. Let me know. I want to hear all about it. And over the next several months, watch how I'm doing it. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.